It's showtime at Pizza Pizza. Hi, it's Pat Finelli presenting Dinner and a Movie with over $15 in savings. Order a small, medium, or a large pizza with any three toppings, any three Coke, and a free two-for-one Cineplex movie admission for only $13.99. Now playing dinner, drinks, and a movie for $13.99. It's showtime at Pizza Pizza.
There's nothing more groovy than pizza and a movie. Order Pizza Pizza. Hey, hey, hey!
This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Bring into the Hockey Central studio. Busy night in the NHL. And it's already been an eventful day in the National Hockey League, in particular one Canadian team. Darren Millard here with Nick Kypreos and Doug McLean. We'll chat with Butch Goring about the New York Islanders and their very delicate hold on a Stanley Cup playoff position right now. A massive loss last night against the New York Islanders. They don't have their number one goaltender, and going into Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey, they have a 3-point edge on the Flyers. But the developing story is occurring from Ottawa. I know everybody wants to hear about William Nylander and Zach Hyman and the great play of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we will touch on that and the rookies winning last night again. But Eugene Melnyk had a
Eugene moment.
Yeah. Spur of the moment State of the Union address. And things are not good in Eugene's world when it comes to the Ottawa Senators. Here is some of the audio from Eugene Melnyk this morning in Ottawa.
I'm looking at all of that, all of it. It's right across the board. There's nobody safe when you have a year like we just did. It's no way. You can't, the status quo will just get us there again next year. And this team cannot survive not making the playoffs. We have to do it by guts. We have to do it by hard work, and we can get there. And that's what we need to do. Nothing more. You can't just throw money at these things. And we all know other teams that have just thrown money at things for decades, and they've gotten nowhere. So we need to do it a different way, and I think we are.
Your response to Eugene Melnyk's comments this morning about the play of his team through 73 games, 76 points. They're right now 7 points out of a playoff spot.
Well, you know what? I used to be always petrified when the owner would have those State of the Union meetings, because you'd always have to scramble for a day or so to get out of it. But
9 games left, though. Could you not have waited till the end of the year?
What happened was he was tied to a press conference on the building, and then it morphs into this. But you know what? In fairness, this was a fairy tale run last year, just an amazing finish, and expectations were that they were going to be in the playoffs. And
Doug,
disappointing.
He didn't have to go down this road today.
No.
If he didn't want to.
No.
He could have said, I'm not talking about
the
team until the end of the year.
You know what, though? Listen, he's the owner.
I love it.
He's the owner. And I would have waited to the end of the year. Those are going to be a very difficult 9 games for Cameron and the players, because they both got an earful right there publicly. Yeah. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they play out these last 9 games. I would have waited, but he is the owner. If he wants to let everybody know how he feels today and he doesn't want to wait 2.5 weeks, that's his prerogative.
And the number one decision in the whole organization is not about what he talked about. The bigger decision is Brian Murray. And Brian, you know, I spent quite a bit of time with Brian in Florida at the Panther reunion, and I sensed he's really into it. I don't know if he's coming back, but I know.
Is that Brian's decision, though?
It's Brian's decision.
Yeah.
It's Brian's decision. And Brian told me he has to make the decision, and I guarantee it's Brian's decision.
I just want a point of clarification, though, Nick. When Eugene Melnyk says nobody's safe,
yes,
he's talking about coaches down.
I
not Brian.
Listen. Well, based on my conversation with Brian and based on what I hear from everybody, and like, obviously Brian's a great friend, but it's Brian's call as to whether he wants to come back.
Well, listen.
And Brian, right now, health-wise, based on what I'm seeing health-wise, I think he's coming back.
Yeah, and health-wise, see, that's not the issue to me. And it's not the issue on whether or not he calls himself a general manager next year. If he's healthy and feels good, he will be involved in major decisions, regardless what the business card says.
Totally.
Okay? So it's underneath Brian now. And my first thought today was, they're going to make a coaching change. They're going to make another coaching change. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I can't even remember how far back it goes now. Hartsburg, Corey Clouston,
Paddock,
McLean,
Paddock.
John Paddock. And I'm sitting there going, they're going to name another coach. How can you call out your coach from the first game in the opener on starting a backup goaltender?
Yep.
That, to me, he's lost. Okay. Cameron's just lost.
Some context there. That was Eugene Melnyk that said that today.
That's right.
So okay. It said, second game of the year, home opener, we play the other goalie.
We play the other goalie. So who's he pointing that finger at?
But here's the thing, you know, and I happen to know Dave Cameron and like him, and I'll tell you what, you can't make another coaching change and let this same group off the hook. It's essentially pretty close to the same group that has been there for a while, excluding Spezza, right?
Listen, I'm with you.
And Alfredson.
I'm with you.
I'm not letting these players off the hook.
We looked at this and we said, okay, they're not a top team in the East, but they should fall in 5-6, not even squeaking in at 8. I didn't have them squeaking in at 8, did you? Did you have them in the playoffs?
I probably had them in that 8-9 spot, you know,
okay,
with the hope that they'd get in.
Based on what you saw last year, that this team, and this is where Eugene's coming from, should be in the playoffs or right there knocking on the door, and they're not.
I'll tell you what's bothering Brian. The way Philly's playing, the way Florida's playing, the way some of those teams that weren't projected to be in are battling. Even a Jersey, the way Jersey have played with the talent base they have. That's what's frustrating, in my opinion, to Brian.
No, it's his team that's frustrating.
But I'm saying that these teams have passed them.
Why are they so poor to start out of the gate?
What is going on? Here's a little bit more from Eugene.
Why are they
Eugene
so bad defensively?
They're chasing the game.
Here's a little bit more from Eugene Melnyk. That's baloney. We have a $68 million U.S. cap. We're way up there. One day it'll all come together. Some days we look like champs. Some days we look like the EHL. Other teams go 13-0. We don't have a streak. Total roller coaster of despair.
Well, I'll tell you, if you watch, they're like, how many times did we say when Paul McLean was coach that they give up so many chances? Their defensive play is so porous. And you know what? Their defense, when you look at that defensive group and the way their forwards play defense, they are one frustrating team to watch. They are a frustrating team to watch. And this is with Anderson, who, in my opinion, has had a great year.
It's not an issue. No. Goaltending wasn't an issue.
No, it's not.
He's held them in games.
And they're scoring. Look where they are in the league in scoring. And look where they are in goals against.
You know what?
And their goaltending's been good.
They're one of the loosest teams in the National Hockey League.
You know what, too? And listen, Carlson has to take some heat here. Okay, and I'm sorry, I don't really get the Norris push right now. I mean, there's some way bigger issues from this guy on whether or not he wins it or gets his name thrown into the mix. But there is a leadership issue, and it falls on him as well. There's many nights that this team is not ready to play. And you mentioned that kind of loosey-goosey thing.
Okay. Where does it start?
It starts with your captain. It starts there. That leadership group has to look in the mirror and say, why are we not better prepared to start these games?
What
now?
And are you saying put the reins on Erik Karlsson?
You know what, Darren? It's not working right now. It's not working.
Third in the league in scoring?
And Eugene blanketed everybody. So that means everything from the leadership group to Cameron, not making the necessary adjustments, specialty teams.
How many games did they go without a power play goal? And it's like, how many times can you set up Carlson at the top and then have Hoffman for the one-timer before everybody catches on and you got to find alternatives? Cameron hasn't made the adjustments.
And now you got a Hoffman problem, too. Who's your leading goal scorer? You know, because of, you know, his lack of like play away from the puck.
There's some big issues right now, and Eugene wanted to start the cleansing today and not 9 games from now.
Well, he certainly started it.
But you know what? There's some great pieces here. There is. Now, Kyle Turris' injury really hurt them. Bobby Ryan's sluggish start really hurt them.
Anyone having a great season? I know point production, Carlson's there, and I'm okay with Anderson too. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I like
Mark Stone's here.
And Mark Stone, it was hot.
I think Mark Stone's
he was so
year.
Hot, and he's bounced back.
Mark Stone was ice cold there for a while in stretches when they needed him. So don't tell me he's had a great year.
What do you expect out of Mark Stone? He's going to be 65, 70 points.
Yeah. Don't get caught up in the points. Again, it's the Carlson thing. Don't get so caught up, okay? You need to play and be consistent for 82 games to make the playoffs today. You can't take games and weeks off.
Especially your top guys.
He's the top takeaway guy. Like, I mean, I think Mark Stone.
You're getting caught up in the stats, the analytics.
I think if you look at Mark Stone's season and you take a month out of it, he's had an exceptional season. But a month when...
But who doesn't go through that?
Exactly. It happens
Patrick
all
Kane's
the time.
Patrick Kane's going through it right now.
But you need other guys. When you're going through that, you need some other guys to step up, and that's maybe where they've fallen down. And,
a month is a long time.
What would you do?
In fairness, let's not forget about Turris here. That's been a really tough...
Massive hole.
Tough injury.
Even when he came back, he wasn't...
For 20 games, the kid tried to play and couldn't get it done. So, you know what?
They weren't good enough.
They weren't good enough to get in.
They underachieved.
And look, I don't mind when the owner steps up and makes comments. I know it's 9 games. I get all that. But I was going to say there's some minority owners that talk too much, but I'm not going to go there.
Are they much better than this record indicates? Or did last year's magical run skew it?
It skewed it. There's no doubt. And that was an unbelievable magical run. But it skewed it. There's no doubt about it. The same as maybe Price standing on his head in a Hart Trophy and skewed Montreal to skewed Montreal, too. Skewed Montreal or skewed Montreal? I don't know. But you got to, you know, those.
But I'm wondering, how disappointed should Eugene Melnyk be with this team?
Well,
He thinks he should have had playoff gates.
He should. Yeah, he thinks he should have been in the playoffs.
Do you?
I had them fighting for the 8th spot. So, no, I wouldn't agree with Eugene 100% because I had them fighting for the 8th spot, hoping they would get in.
Because really, right now, they're going to finish 10th.
Before we let go of this, I want to ask you, because as a general manager and as a former coach, I mean, you know, they're all over Cameron. Yeah. They were all over McLean. They were all like, okay, when does it now start? Maybe it's not the coaches, but it's around the coaches. Is that a possibility? Like, I don't get it. Why this organization more than any other organization is there always seems to be an issue with coaches.
Okay, and I think it's a good point. And I think that's why when you get to that point, that's when you go at, you sit down as a management team and you say, is this core right to win with? That's the critical decision that Brian and the management team have to make. Are you going to win with this core? And you've got to come out of that making a decision. That core is Turris, Bobby Ryan, Zibanejad, Carlson,
Phaneuf
now.
They added Phaneuf.
And talking to Brian, I mean, and guys around the team, Dion's been a plus.
He's been a real positive plus.
Dave Cameron was given Dion Phaneuf at the trade deadline. And I talked to Brian.
With the idea to get in.
I talked to Brian and said, is this, in your mind, a playoff team? He said, it darn well should be.
Except he also said, we're in tough. because of where we've let ourselves get to. Remember, he didn't
build on it.
No, they didn't.
They didn't build on the acquisition of Deion
and some tough losses and in you know where anyway they're where they are. And I think you got to say, where do we go with the core
of
this group?
People have criticized the Ottawa Senators organization, and in particular Eugene Melnyk, because he doesn't put enough into the team from a payroll standpoint. $68 million is enough.
Darn right it is.
Adding Dion Phaneuf at the trade deadline with that much term left on his contract is enough.
Now, Brian did a heck of a deal. Brian did a heck of a deal moving the money out to make it work and saved himself $4 or $5 million. But he took on the
massive term.
Yeah.
In an era where you just don't do that.
You just...
Yeah. To me, you go at the core and you say, what changes are we going to make?
But Brian challenges his coaches.
I worked for him. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I loved it. Like, I loved when he came into to my office after he said, maybe I don't know anything about hockey, is how he used to start off every conversation. Maybe I don't know anything about the game, why did we do that? I loved it.
Is he too hard on his coaches?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because Nick's right.
I'm going to tell you something.
Swath of them out there.
I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to coach with Brian Murray, if you're going to take a job with Brian Murray, who was a 20-year NHL coach, you got to work with him. Because he wants to be involved in the coaching. Some GMs, I talked to an NHL coach this weekend about his general manager who people tell me interferes on them. He said, never interfered with us at all. Wouldn't talk to us on game day. Wouldn't interfere with the coaching at all.
On the coaching perspective.
But if you're going to deal with Brian, you got to work with him.
Apparently, Eugene didn't interfere with the starting goalie in game one.
I'll give you some numbers. This is Ottawa's rank in the National Hockey League.
Penalty kill?
30th.
Power play?
27th.
Yeah, that's okay. That don't stop right there.
Goals against?
No, you don't even have to go.
27.
You don't have to go any further there.
And goals for?
So
are they going to have a 30-goal score?
Are they not fifth in goals for?
Yes. Matt? Mike?
22. Mark Stone and Bobby Ryan.
I've got him on the mic now, and he's doing a good job.
Where are we with goals for? Goals for in the league.
Are they not fifth?
Matt. Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Hoffman, 26. I said, are they going to have
the mic? When did you get the
30-goal
mic?
Score?
Oh.
Barely.
When did you get the mic?
But tons of depth. Stone with 22.
I had to get him involved.
Ryan with 22.
He's only allowed to answer
Darren. I saw him with a mic, and I'm sitting there going, he hasn't said a word. I got to get him in the show.
Zach Smith with 21. Oh, no, he talked more than Jaffe yesterday.
Okay, so just a minute. If I ask him a question like I just did, yes. he refused to answer me. Does that mean he can only answer you?
Well, we're still working on our lines of communication.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to know the rules. That's all.
Can you funnel everything through me? It's like grade school.
Sounds like home.
Can you ask?
No, it's what I go through every day at home. And I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for
it.
As
you should be. You bring up goal scoring. With 200 plus goals, you should be able to outscore your mistakes. They've scored more goals than Florida and Tampa Bay. Both teams in playoff spots. They're, strangely enough, in the ballpark with Washington.
But Darren, and you typically, if you see those stats, like you just read off, okay, what's the number one problem with your team typically when you read off fifth in the league, horrendous penalty killing? That typically would say your goaltending's been bad.
Yep.
That's what it would typically lead
to. That's fair.
And you know what? That's not the case here. That's what really bothers me is the fact that in most nights, Anderson keeps them in games, and yet you give us those stats.
They've allowed 24 more goals than the Toronto Maple Leafs this season. So how do you fix that?
I'm sorry, and I go back to my same comment. You got to go after the core of this team. And say,
but what is the core of the team?
Well,
what do you mean? You go after the core of the team.
You decide.
After the core.
Well,
the team.
You can.
You're gonna make
you got to
make change. That's what you're.
You got to make. You got to make.
They always take the fall.
They always take the fall.
Yeah, but you got to. That's why I wouldn't do it. I'd make some player changes.
What changes do you make?
Is Zibanejad a guy that's going to be there? Is Hoffman a guy that should be there? Is Bobby Ryan a guy that should be there? That's your core of your team. Is Mark Mathot playing well enough to be where he is? Can Carlson continue to play this way and for them to be successful? Or does he got to adapt some way? Does he have to change his game a touch? That's what I mean by going after the core. And you can't do it all, but maybe it's a couple of changes. Maybe you have to trade a score, a 30-goal score, and bring in a guy that's going to give you 20 goals in a two-way game. I mean, injuries haven't even been a problem. Clark MacArthur and Turris, in fairness, Clark MacArthur and Turris, they're two of their top guys. Top nine, number one center.
Outside of Craig Anderson, those are the two guys you really can't do without because of their rules. And Carlson.
Clark MacArthur to me now is a top nine, but he can really be a reasonable top six.
I think he means more to that room.
Big time. I agree with you.
Than people ever realize.
So he and Turris were tough losses for them. Anyway.
Okay. Can we play the clip one more time? This is Eugene Melnyk. Eugene Melnyk on the state of his franchise at a press conference this morning.
I'm looking at all of that, all of it. It's right across the board. There's nobody safe when you have a year like we just did. It's no way. You can't. The status quo will just get us there again next year. And this team cannot survive not making the playoffs. We have to do it by guts. We have to do it by hard work, and we can get there. And that's what we need to do. Nothing more. You can't just throw money at these things. And we all know other teams that have just thrown money at things for decades, and they've gotten nowhere. So we need to do it a different way, and I think we are.
You know what I got out of that? I got, we cannot survive not making the playoffs. And I'm wondering if he's saying, I can't survive if we don't make the playoffs.
You know what? And they're in the process of a building dilemma going on there. That's critical when you're trying to do those sorts of things. And dollars. I mean, look, it's a huge. Well, it's $5-6 million if you make the playoffs.
And
or
can
more.
It's not five or six million. Can he keep the team and miss the playoffs but this year or next year?
And it's not the gate. It's the ramifications of making the playoffs on season ticket renewals, on corporate sales. So it's the $2 million gate in the playoffs times three or whatever games, but it's the summer and the selling season. That's where you've gotta make the playoffs to help move forward. So it's a $10-15 million deal, maybe.
It's a lot. Trying times right now.
Who's Canada's best team?
Oh.
What, like,
are the
seriously?
Ottawa Senators Canada's best team?
Yeah, I guess they are. We've just been talking about them for 20 minutes, but we didn't. We
if told
we
you talked everything about, that's hey, wrong just, with them for 20 minutes, and now you're asking us.
Well, I know.
There's two different ways to go. Toronto,
can we pick up the show here a little upbeat?
Darren, Toronto is Canada's best 30th place team.
In history.
Ottawa may be the best Canadian team. And then you're saying, well, what about Calgary and Vancouver and Winnipeg? Ooh. Ugh.
Like,
it's not good.
That entire conversation.
Reading the papers today in Toronto that the Leafs don't know how to win right. They don't know how to lose right.
They're fine.
They're going to miss picking number one because they're going to lose their 30th spot.
They're fine.
They're in great
They're
shape.
Fine.
Nylander got 3 points. What more can
Nylander.
You ask? Nylander's his father's name. Why is he? No, I know. Nylander. Just trying to bug people. That's all. So
no, you're not.
Me.
You're very good at it.
Yeah.
You're very good at it. I was away all week last week, and I get texts. Doug's not playing nice in the sandbox. Is that true, Darren?
Actually, he was okay.
Shanny and I had a little battle because Shanny was into the coaching mode, and I just was trying to get him away from the coaching mode. He's more of a management guy, Shanny, not a coach. That's all. That was my point.
So it's true. So, you didn't play nice in the sandbox.
Yes, I did.
There was just one little thing.
One little blow up. Okay. And I just said change the subject. That's all I said. I thought I handled it reasonably well.
No, you should.
There's nothing reasonably.
No, you didn't. Okay. You did not handle
it
well.
I'm sorry, Shanny.
Neither one of you handled it well. The best part is Matt and I just sat back and
got out of the way.
Enjoyed a coffee.
Got out of the way.
Well, it's with Doug and Shanny, I've learned you can't. I can't support John.
Listen.
because he's Max going to get upset. If I support Doug, Shanny's going to get upset. I without saying it, was on John's side on that one.
Don't except then. Here's what happened. Then Trotsky.
No, we're not going. We're not going back into it.
Come on and said everything I said.
We're not going back into it.
Then Trotsky, come on and verified everything I was talking about. So then all of a sudden they went quiet.
Is Bush there? We got to take a break. Okay, can you speak clear back there? All right, we're going to take a break. That's exactly what we did last week when Shannon and McLean squared off. When we continue,
wasn't a square
Butch
off.
Goring, New York Islanders analyst. Ooh, things are
no square
tight in Brooklyn. What a great time to have Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey from Brooklyn tomorrow
night.
You
can't leave it alone.
Everything's blowing up in Ottawa and tense as heck in Brooklyn. We'll chat with Butch Goring next on Hockey Central News, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, and the NHL Network.
You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You think things are tough in Ottawa right now. New York Islanders are falling. Back in Hockey Central at noon with Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. This is the quote from Jack Capuano after last night's very hard-to-swallow defeat against the Philadelphia Flyers. You can't have four or five guys struggling this time of the year and expect to win. The writer said it sounded more perplexed than angry. Hopefully those guys can get it going, but it's a little bit late right now. A bunch of guys have gone cold.
And he Jack's got to break his game day routine so we can get him on TV. Hey?
He does.
Take a day. You don't need a nap every day.
I'm not good for that.
Change it up.
1-4-2. 1-4-2 in their last seven. Here is Butch Goring, New York Islanders analyst. What would you say to this group to turn things around as they face Ottawa tomorrow night?
As an old coach, Butch.
Well, you know, listen, the good news is they're still in a playoff position and they have a lot of games at home. And, you know, they went through a real tough stretch where they played 12 of their last 15 games on the road and they still maintained a better than 500 record. So it's been a tough go for them. And I personally think they're a little bit tired, not only physically, but mentally. But now they're back in their own beds and they still control their own destiny. So that really would be my message to them. Is that, you know what, whatever's happened in the past, you know, is irrelevant now because now you have to get in the present and you have to start winning hockey games again. Because,
but you wouldn't throw a garbage can or anything?
Well, I probably would have done that a few games ago. I'd have been a little more emphatic. I'm a pretty, emotional guy, so I don't know, the coaching staff, where they are with their emotions, but... You know, it's frustrating for everybody because this is a team that's played very well, and now they're off the track. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the biggest thing that I see with their game is that they don't look like a team right now. They're pulling in a lot of different directions when they're on the ice. They have guys that are trying to do too much, and then they have guys that just seem like they can't, you know, they can't get off the starting block. So there's a lot of it's sort of a dysfunctional team right now. And you know, last night I thought that. They had a couple of real good early chances, and I think that's what they needed to take advantage of, is to get that quick goal lead. And you know how things are when you're struggling. All of a sudden, you got the lead, and then everybody takes a deep breath, and then everything gets to be okay. But it didn't happen that way. And then once they started to have to climb a hill, they certainly couldn't handle it.
Oh my God! Do you ever sound like Jigs McDonald and Eddie Westfall during that 8-year stretch where they were struggling? Come on, Butch. What is going on really with this team? Is Tavares carrying them? Is Letty Letty, is he playing as well as he should? The big boys, are they doing it, or is it the bottom of the lineup, or is it goaltending?
You know what? That's the one thing that they have no issues with is their goaltending has been very strong. I mean, yes, losing Halak hurts them. There's no doubt about it. But Thomas Greiss has had a sensational season, and when Berube's come in and play, he's played very well. So it's not about the goaltending. I mean, it's about the team, and I would point to all of them. I mean, they just – they have not played well, and they didn't play particularly well in Canada. They found ways to win, but this is a team that that has struggled, and it's everybody. And you know, you can start it with the captain, and he'll tell you the same thing. He's got to be better. But it's not just about him. It's the entire hockey club that they can't seem to get 60 minutes together. There's times when they can't get 40 minutes together. So, you know, obviously you have to be in the room to know, you know, what's going on. Maybe at the very root of it all. But this is a team that's struggling. As I mentioned, they look a little dysfunctional, and they're certainly totally out of rhythm.
Well, this is where you need John Tavares to carry it right now, and he's ice cold. And I'm wondering now if you're Jack Capuano, in terms of how do you play this? Because he's asked about him, and he says that he defends him. Maybe he's trying too much. And I'm sitting there going, man, if that was Keenan right now, he wouldn't have a problem calling him out publicly to try to get him going here.
Jack doesn't want to end up in Russia.
What would you do if you're the coach to get this guy going?
Well, the one thing about Tavares is that he always competes. I mean, he's a guy that works hard, but watching the game last night, John to me looks like he's trying to do too much, and I do believe that he's frustrated. It's been an ongoing revolving door of wingers for him, and really for the most part it hasn't clicked. I mean, And I think that's been for me, has been the biggest problem. I know as a centerman, I like to play with the same guys all the time. I like to know, you know, I don't want to have to overthink, you know, what's going on the ice. It's a game of reaction, and it's just so much easier when you know what everybody else is thinking. And when you play with guys for long periods of time, that's the way it is. And I think for John is that I think he's overthinking. He's trying to do too much at different times. And he doesn't have any real chemistry with the guys he's playing, and it's been obvious for quite a while, and I think that's why you're seeing the revolving door. Is that Jack Capuano, I think, is trying to find some lightning in a bottle, and they haven't been able to do it, and I think consequently you're not seeing the Tavares that we all, you know, all used to seeing. But it's not because he doesn't play hard. It's just that I think he's like everybody else. I think he's out of sync.
For the second straight week, we have a former Dauphin King on the program. It's Butch Goring, a New York Islanders analyst on Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean.
Butch, this whole bizarre situation about dealing with home games, has this pissed John Tavares off to the point that, you know, what's going on here, and is he putting up with this, or are we way out in left field about the conversation surrounding this home ice thing?
You're talking about the Brooklyn,
yeah,
Barclays Center?
Yeah. The whole thing the Rangers have done for 20 years.
They're winning at home, but the sense is, Butch, that the situation going back and forth is wearing on the players. What can you say about that?
Is it wearing on you, Butch?
I don't think that's a problem, honestly. I think that, you know, early on in the year, it was a very long day for them. They were having their skate out there at Barclays Center. They were having their meetings. They were checking into hotels, and it became more like a road game, and I think that was a distraction for them at the start of the season, even though they won games. But, you know, they changed that, and really now for quite a while they've been back in their routine, and they're doing the same thing that so many other teams do. I mean, the Kings do it, the Rangers do it, and a lot of teams go back and forth and have their practice.
Totally. Week.
So that's really, that to me, that's not the issue. I mean, I think they have a legitimate issue with the schedule they've had over the last month and a half, because it's been no different than anybody else's, with a lot of games in a short period of time. But the biggest difference is they've been on the road, and they've been going all over the doggone, changing time zones. And when they started to lose a grip on, you know, the way they were playing, there was no chance to recapture it again, because A, they were on the road, and B, is they have no practice time. So I think that's had an effect on them. And they really have not been able to regroup from kind of the downtime.
Butch, this is a good hockey team. When you look at them, you say you got the superstar, you got a good defense, you've got some real good two-way players mixed in up front. I mean, I think Garth has done a good job building this group. Is there pressure finally to do some damage at playoff time with this group, although it's come reasonably quick with Garth the last couple of years?
Well, I think there's definite pressure for these guys, not only to make the playoffs, but to get past the first round. I mean, as we all know, I mean, the only way you get better is you got to be able to, you know, raise your game and play at a different level and play in a different scenario. And so for the Islanders, you know, who have been together, this is a group that hasn't been together for a couple of years. They've been together for a half a dozen years now. And the expectations, not only amongst management, but with the players themselves, because I've had these conversations with them, it's not just about making the playoffs. It's about, you know, having a run in the playoffs and learning, you know, from those runs. You know, it was great the first year when they gave Pittsburgh all they could. It was certainly very, it was disappointing last year, although it was pretty meaningful to learn, you know, of going to a seven-game series and then finding out, you know, how difficult seven games be. So, but now, I mean, it's they need the next, all you know, to a man, they would tell you that, you know, they have to win a round. And so I think everybody's on the same page. And so I think that's why there's obviously a big concern now, because they put themselves into a race that they didn't want to be in. They were thinking, okay, it's home ice advantage, and now it's survival, because there's definitely, you know, there's some people on their heels, and now they're in the race that they didn't want to be.
Detroit and Philadelphia both in action tonight. Detroit can pull even with the Islanders, and Philadelphia can get within one single point. Before we move on, who's phoning you there? Who is trying to buzz through in the call waiting?
Jack.
I think that's one of my fans, and they're probably
listen. Kippy,
they're probably wanting to know the exact same thing you guys are asking. But, I mean, right, going home last night after the game, I mean, it was the same thing from all the fans. I mean, they're very passionate people. It's like, what's wrong with our Islanders? What's wrong? And you know, that's
Butch.
Everybody wants to know.
Kippy wants me to stay with him here till I'm close to 80. What's Stan Fischler's secret that he's been able to last so long? Any tips for me to last longer?
First of all, you only have about 3 or 4 more years to hit that plateau, so why not stick with it?
Any tips, Butch, that you could give me from your good friend and my good friend Stan?
Well, I know he takes good care of himself, so that would be a start for you.
Well, I do that. Anyway, all the best to Stan. If you see him, we should get Stan Fischer on. He's one of the great legends of New York hockey.
Oh,
sometime.
My gosh, that would be great.
We should get Stan on. I love the guy.
Butch, we've got the game tomorrow night, the Islanders and the Ottawa Senators. Two teams with the, well, I don't know whether you've heard what's happening in Ottawa today with the owner sounding off. So a couple of good storylines to follow there, and we'll see what happens tonight to see just exactly how tenuous the playoff position is. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
All the best, Butch.
Butch Goring.
Stan Fischer is a legend, though, and I don't know if we've ever had him on, and he's you know, I see him on when you do the games there. He's on top of it still, which is kind of fun. Now, you would have dealt with him a lot.
Yeah. What's he doing over there?
Stan?
Him. McLean.
Well, I'm looking at the older guys trying to, you know.
Now he's
to get a new deal.
He's booking guests on the fly.
Who else do you need? Who else should we get on the show?
He's educating us who Stan Fischler is.
You guys all want to get guests on. You want Gretz. You want Gretz on, and you want your guys on. Mez and Gretz.
So you're talking to us like we don't know who Stan Fischler is.
Well, we've never had him on. Wake up.
Stan's written a couple books I've made.
A couple?
That I've made.
Oh, that you've made.
Yeah, that you've been in.
That he's given me
I thought you were doing the binding or something. Like
no.
You constructed them.
No.
You wrote the foreword to them. You wrote the foreword.
A couple enforcer books.
I did the foreword for Sean Pronger's book, by the way.
Oh, good.
You didn't even one-up him. He didn't write the foreword. Wow. You just invented that.
That's
so you
a new record.
I didn't write the foreword. I was just on the.
That's the latest he's ever gone for a one-up. 45 minutes into the show.
I didn't write the foreword. I just had a quote in there.
Oh, see, now you're just lying.
Yeah, I lied. Murph did the forward, didn't he? Our friend Murph in Vancouver?
I thought Murph wrote it.
Oh, did Murph write it?
I got to read that book. Sean Pronger's done a book.
I got to read that book.
You could do a book. You can illustrate. Can I just show everybody this? This is Darren Millard.
My doodling.
This is Darren Millard during our last interview.
I just got through Elliot's 90 thoughts.
You drew
A goalie.
I was drawing a goalie.
Oh, listen, there we are.
I got to get through Elliot's 90 thoughts before I can do that. Is it a flyer goalie?
Yeah, it was a flyer goalie. I don't know why.
Okay, for the record,
yeah.
It's Steve Mason.
I did the exact same thing all the time in grade 7.
I know.
How old are you?
45.
45.
You're older.
And I'm not very good.
And I used to do this in grade 7, and Mr. McTaggart was my math teacher. Yeah. And then every once in a while, he'd come over, look over my shoulder, and he'd bust me, and he'd be like, Is this going to get you a job? Is this going to pay the bills?
That wasn't your last year of math, was it?
I'm a doodler.
And I'm like, yeah, maybe.
What's that got to do with
me? That's a good drawing, by the way. It's not bad. Did you shrink the equipment?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I'm going with old school. And Nick's strategy, because I doodle all the time during the show. You write down what you're going to say as you're saying it, though. Some people write down, okay, they'll write Islanders defense.
Yes.
And then that's my but you write it down. So this is what Nick.
And then his lips move.
So what do you think about the Islanders defense? And as he's saying it, you write it down. It's one of the coolest, weirdest.
I'll forget a train of thought.
Right in midstream.
Oh yeah.
But I also see you talking to yourself on the set. What's that all about? Like are you going through what you're going to say?
I go through what I say.
And then how come when you finish going through it you say, what are we going to talk about?
Stay with me. 6 concussions, folks.
I don't mind him rehearsing in his head.
I do. He's good.
I don't mind him because when it's there, it's there.
Yeah, good stuff.
Radim Verbata,
Brandon
Sutter, Alex Edler shut down for the remainder of the season. That's some Canuck news. They're there for the draft lottery.
Have you ever seen Canadian teams with so many on the injured list ever? Like you look at Winnipeg, you look at Vancouver, look at Ottawa,
they can't get
you look
out
at
fast
Toronto,
enough.
You look at Montreal.
They can't get
the
out fast enough.
The injury lists are a mile long on these teams.
They can't get out fast enough. You're done for the season. You're done. You're done. You're done.
Trap doors.
Last 10 games, you're done.
But I'm being serious. Have you ever seen lists like this in your life in for Canadian teams?
Well, you've never seen this many Canadian teams out this
much
in advance.
Top 7 or 8.
We're not saying they're tanking. They're injured. The guys are injured.
They're injured. Yeah.
Why, are you jealous? You want to be shut down for the season?
I had a day off last week.
You need another fall on Bloor Street.
I need a fall.
Anaheim?
That was 4 or 5 years ago.
4 or 5 years ago. You face planted.
I recovered nicely from that.
Not really.
Anaheim, Dallas, and San Jose can all clinch playoff spots tonight. And Ottawa, we started this program with Eugene Melnyk saying nobody's safe. Ottawa plays tonight. Ottawa gets Washington.
Well, you think back in your career how many times you've gone home with one of your owners saying that nobody in your organization saves. Not a good feel.
Think about your career. How many times you've gone home with the owner?
When you think about it, like you got one of the best offensive defensemen in the last 25 years. You got some good pieces there. Mm-hmm. And yet he wants to make it abundantly clear he's not covering anyone's ass. It's all out there for the...
Yep.
To be reassessed. He didn't want to protect Carlson. He didn't want to protect Zibanejad.
As they say, he's the owner.
Stone.
Look,
he's not protecting anybody today.
Eugene Melnyk was even tough on Alfredson late in his days there. You know, he doesn't pull any punches. Give him credit for that. He doesn't pull any punches. He's ticked off.
Are you not just a little bit curious to see how they approach this Washington game? Whether the players go out and freewheel it, or whether or not they play a little
tighter.
Cameron
won't allow that. I mean, it may look like it, but I would think that it's going to be
they'll play their tails off.
Eggshell kind of feel.
He's saying the exact opposite.
I'm saying they'll play their tails off because of Melnyk.
Well, I'm not saying that they won't play their tails off. I'm just saying that you're not, it's not a good feeling in that room.
No.
It's not a good feeling.
If you're Dave Cameron, do you fall on the sword?
Remember when Abe Poland came into our dressing room?
Yeah, and gave the you door, guys, and the door hit him.
Gave the big pep talk.
Do you remember the door hit him in the eye?
I was in there, ripped the team, and then he was walking out the owner of the Caps, and the door, he went to grab the door, and it sprung. And
there must have been...
Knocked him.
There might eight maintenance guys running in there, knocked feeling him. Like I could get fired
and
any
I'm thinking,
second now.
Oh, my God, that door. I'm going to get blamed for that door doing that. I'm getting fired, and I was assistant coach. Remember that? When owners come in, it's not fun.
Not fun.
Not fun.
Doesn't happen.
No. They're around too much when I was working.
A great night of action tonight. Again, Anaheim, Dallas, San Jose can all clinch.